are listening to FBC Perspective, a podcast from First Baptist Church, Kelowna.
Hello from First Baptist Church in Kelowna. This is Pastor Kevin Green. I'm your host, and I'd like to welcome you to our Perspective podcast, where we talk about things that help us live better lives. Well, today I'm talking to Pastor Ginger Goma from Kelowna Community Church, Salvation Army. Ginger, great to have you.
Well, it's good to be here with you.
Good.
In spirit and truth anyway.
Exactly. Hey, Ginger, I wonder if you can tell us what you do with your church, with the Salvation Army.
I'm one of the pastors at Salvation Army. So I've been with them for 4 years now, and we have different segments of Salvation Army here in the Okanagan, in a sense of we have the thrift stores. So we have a governing, committee that governs that, supervisors, managers, you name it. And we have the Community Life Center, which is our secondary food bank here in the city. And that's where people get their supplies and foods. And that's the part of Salvation Army that really helps the vulnerables as well. I'm involved with this Community Life Center, but I'm more definitely involved of the church component. The third part of Kelowna Salvation Army here is the church, which is Kelowna Community Church of Salvation Army. And so that's what I do. We operate like a regular church. So when people are confused, even with Salvation Army, like I still hear, oh, I didn't even know there's a church, right? It's because of the fact that not all Salvation Army in the city have a church. So what Salvation Army does is that they come to a city and they assess what the needs of the city, are. Like, for instance, if they come to a small town and there's no church, then they will have a church. If the town needs a community life center or a first food bank, not a secondary food bank, then they will operate as a food bank. And so they literally look at a city, assess what the needs of the what the city is. So when Salvation Army came to Kelowna, they literally came realizing there's not a lot of churches in 1990. So there's a church, Kelowna Community Church. So I'm a pastor at the church.
I was definitely one of the people who didn't know the difference. So that is actually really helpful for me.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been with Salvation Army now for 4 years.
Okay.
So it's a journey for me for sure, Kevin, because of the fact that this was a stretch for me. Like, I was considering going to another church, but I thought, you know what? I want to know about Salvation Army. I want to get down and get dirty, in a sense of, what kind of the Booth, William Booth kind of an idea. So I thought this was a good transition for me to just experience something different. And I'm glad I did, because I learned a lot about being in the trenches of Salvation Army.
So today, Ginger and I are going to be talking about some of the more vulnerable people in the city. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that's happened with social distancing, with maybe people staying home more, living in a bit of fear, maybe entering into a bit of a self-preservation mode, is that we can forget to think about some of the people that were already invisible or largely ignored, like our homeless population, whether it's whether those who are occasionally homeless or those living in their cars or just those who have really unstable living situations. And maybe not just the homeless, but the working poor who were already on the edges of extreme poverty. And those people are often ignored. Yeah. And now I think the challenge is to remember them and to find ways to help. And I just wonder what you think of that.
Yeah, it's COVID definitely has changed a lot of things for us, right? A lot of the people that, that we help are, they're not just homeless. They're definitely vulnerable in the sense of, some of them live from paycheck to paycheck, right? And then all of a sudden COVID happened and they're no longer living paycheck to paycheck because there's no more paycheck in essence, right? So our vulnerables actually have grown in the city because of all the things that are happening. And people who haven't even really tapped into, you know, the support that we give, that has grown as well because of the fact that that community has grown. The needy in our community has really grown, and it's heartbreaking. It truly is. So it's not just the vulnerables in downtown right now. Even what you would see that is seemingly, you know, not in that category is all of a sudden realizing what do we do now, right?
Yeah, I really resonate with that, because even myself as a pastor who kind of thinks mm-hmm. understands some of this stuff, it's actually kind of flown off the radar a bit for me. And I'm like, wait a minute, yeah. This is probably worse than ever right now.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like, some of the messages that we often hear is heartbreaking because of the fact that, you know, we'll get a message that says, I've never, ever considered tapping into a food bank or a secondary food bank or reaching out for help. And now I'm in that category. It's heartbreaking listening to them because it's as if they're doing something bad, but they're not. We want them to come. We want them to know. We want them to know that we want to help as best as we could.
So, I mean, I guess it's probably pretty varied, but I wonder if you can put a face to the vulnerable people. Like, who are you seeing coming in for help?
In terms of terminology, right? When the terminology that we typically use for the vulnerables are the ones that we see in downtown, right? And you know what's amazing about our community is we have established organizations like Kelowna Gospel Mission that we partner with right now in helping the vulnerables downtown. Metro is also doing their part, and so we have this relationship, particularly with Kelowna Gospel Mission, where Kelowna Gospel Mission cooks the food because they are set up to, you know, to feed the vulnerables. And then we bring our truck in, Salvation Army, and then we feed the vulnerables through our truck so that we have a system where, you know, we're social distancing and we have policies and procedures in place so that we know that it's a safe environment because they can't go into Kelowna Gospel Mission right now, right? Because of the social distancing. Mm. So we found a way to operate in such a way that we haven't forgotten the vulnerables. These are the things that we are definitely mindful about, and something to consider.
So Ginger, I'm wondering, with this increased demand, how has it affected the supplies at your food bank?
We were worried for a little bit there before the government incentive came, right? Because the government actually gave an incentive to supply the demands that the food banks are feeling, right? But before that, we were definitely concerned because of the fact that our shelves are becoming empty. The government incentive really boosted the demand, the supplies that we have in order to be able to be available to the demand that's happening out there. So when I talked about the vulnerables, and there's a decrease of the vulnerables tapping into the food that's made, that we serve, there has been an increase in people tapping into the food bank. And that's probably where some of the vulnerables have disappeared to, in a sense of they're just going to the food bank or us as a secondary food bank, because we have the food bank, right? So they have an increased demand as well, for sure. And we work in tandem with the food bank. We are a secondary food bank. So the way we work is that if you tap into the food bank and you need something to tithe you over, between your next appointment with the food bank, then we're here to help. Again, the government giving that incentive was definitely helpful. As I said earlier, like we can only do this together. So people's donations definitely will continue to help the food bank and us in making sure that the supply is there for the demand that's heavily increasing.
So I know that a lot of people have found these physical distancing, all the restrictions, quite stressful, all the changes,
Absolutely.
Like food security and all that. But I wonder how our vulnerable people, how they're dealing with the stress. Like, have you seen the effects of stress? Have you seen increased drug use? Anything like that?
You know, because of the fact that we are socially distancing, right? We see it from a distance, right? We see, but definitely the just like everyone else, they are feeling the stress of all these things, right? And I can only imagine how stressful it is for them, because think about it this way. If one of them gets it, their social distancing parameters is very different than ours. In some ways, you could almost say that in some pockets of it, there is no social distancing for them, right? So if one of them gets it, you know, the community could potentially get it. So we are concerned for them. We love them, right? Like we want to care for them. And we want to make sure that I love how you said it. They were invisible before. They are becoming even more invisible now. And us talking about the situation will only bring more awareness to the fact that we don't want them to become invisible.
So how do you think all of these restrictions have maybe changed their day-to-day routine? Like what do they do in a typical day now?
Well, their day-to-day routine, it seems anyway, again, like we, you know, again, unless we truly investigate by doing a study and stuff, their day-to-day is affected by the fact that they can't access the typical places that they can access, right? As I mentioned, for instance, earlier, right? Like before they would dine at Kelowna Gospel Mission. They can't do that anymore, right? Because of the policies and procedures that has been placed. So there's definitely a lot of stress in the community. And it's truly unfortunate. I know that the government is also working hard in making sure that in different cities, they're setting up places where, you know, they can access it by booths or by tents, right? But we're doing our best as things change here in Kelowna.
You know, it's interesting as we talk, I realize that I've often thought that it might be best to talk about vulnerable populations, not the vulnerable population, because they're so different. And I just wonder if that, because we tend to think of the vulnerable people as the people living on the street, maybe, or sleeping
That's right.
on steps.
Yeah.
But there's a big range, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. There is. And so we as the Salvation Army here in the Okanagan, right? We tend to definitely fill a void where the vulnerable that we typically reach on a year-to-year basis are the paycheck to paycheck, right? Because there's, you know, like, as I said, Kelowna Gospel Mission is focused on the vulnerables downtown. Not that we don't do anything with them. We do a lot with them as well. But we tend to focus our efforts where, you know, there is a need. And so right now there is a need in partnering with Kelowna Gospel Mission. So we partnered with Kelowna Gospel Mission. For instance, you know, ESS right now is starting to rally up, because if there's a fire, what do? Right. So we're now setting up policies and procedures, and we're getting a facility in place now with social distancing, because all of a sudden you get a whole evacuation. They become vulnerable. Right. So
you used an acronym that I'm not actually familiar with. ESS. What is that?
ESS is Emergency Services. Right. So they're the branch of the government that deals with evacuations and stuff. So we partner with that government. You know, like the fire department as well is a part of that process. Where when there is emergency situation, we partner with them.
So, I mean, one of the things that always surprises me is the resiliency of people. And I wonder if there's been any surprises that you would say have been positive throughout this.
Yeah, you know what? One of the things that has really amazed me in terms of struggles that happen, whether it's fire, whether it's pandemic, whether it's flood, you know, you see, as much as there's a lot of negativity, you see the goodness in people. You see the generosity of people. You see the willingness of people to really help out, you know, whether they're Christians or not. You know, this community is absolutely outstanding. And this community has really floored me in terms of their kindness. You know, I know that, you know, we hear a lot of negativity towards the vulnerable, right? You see them on social media, people piping up like, this is an atrocity, you name it. You know, you see it, Kevin, yeah. Right? But I see the other side as well. I see generous people who are giving. I see people who are giving a helping hand, you know, the volunteers that come and knocking on our door saying we want to volunteer, like it's overwhelming in a good way, you know. And I wish that we could show that at times, but you know, because of confidentiality and stuff, we can't. That's the part of the picture that we can't always show, right? You know, like we do our own videos as well, and our volunteers don't want to be on the video because they don't want to be, you know, some of them are shy, but some of them just don't want to be rewarded in a sense, right? And that in itself is amazing, right? That they don't want people to know that they're doing good deeds, right? Like, because they're doing it from, you know, from a very generous heart, and they'd rather be confidential than people knowing, you know, that they're doing good deeds.
Well, that's just it, isn't it? I was reflecting on even people that maybe are ideologically hostile to vulnerable people. I think when there's a face on that in a relationship, they change their story quite a bit.
Yeah, and absolutely. Yeah,
I think as a pastor and leader of a faith community, I think, and I hear that many people are ready and really want to help. Is there a particular way that churches and faith communities can help?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that they can easily help for sure is making, you know, like obviously donations of food, right? Making sure that that our shelves are continually filled. They can always obviously give monetary donations to Salvation Army. That's definitely something that's always obviously necessary. But those are two big avenues for sure that people can help immediately. The volunteer system is quite finicky right now because of the fact that the social distancing, the new policy and procedure that we set in place is that, you know, the people that we can put on the front lines are people that we already know, because we don't know, right? Like even a next level of trust needs to be set in place, which is, you know, if we already know the people, then we know that we can trust them, that they're telling us that they're not sick and whatnot, right? It's just, you know, Salvation Army is very good with making sure their policies and procedures are respected. That's one of the major differences that I definitely saw in working in a regular church, you know, if we can say that, in comparison to working in the church here with Salvation Army. They're very strict with the procedures, right? Grandma from down the road can just come into our kitchen and cook, right? Which is, there's nothing wrong with that. We give a lot of trust, especially with brothers and sisters. We put a lot of trust in that. But because we work within a community system, we have to follow government procedures.
So
which makes it difficult sometimes.
Yeah, totally. And if somebody is actually interested in donating some food, are there procedures and policies right now because of the restrictions they need to be aware of?
No, the only policy and procedure is that they, you know, there's not necessarily a policy and procedure in place. But obviously, you know, kind of more common knowledge, right? Like, so for instance, produce is really hard to work with, and I wouldn't even recommend people giving produce, right? Because of the fact that, you know, you can transfer the virus through produce, but canned goods are always the best, like dry goods are always the best because you have to cook them in such a way, right?
Can you tell us where they should bring it?
They can either bring it to the church here by Birch and Sutherland. They just have to give us a call though to make sure that we know that they are coming because our doors are shut, or they can go to Community Life Center, which is in Rutland. So Community Life Center and our thrift store in Rutland are attached together. So if you go to our Rutland building, you will see on the left-hand side, you will see the thrift store, and on the right-hand side is the Community Life Center.
And Jim, do you have a website that people could go to get this information?
Yeah, absolutely. So the easiest one is if they go to Facebook, they just type in Salvation Army Kelowna.
Salvation Army Kelowna on Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Or they can Google also Salvation Army Kelowna. They will see the Facebook and the website pop up for sure.
I wonder if you can reflect a bit about how you've seen God's faithfulness in all of this.
When we talk about like the resiliency of people, I definitely see the resiliency of God's people, right? Like when I talked about the goodness and the resiliency of, you know, like as human beings, that has floored me. But obviously I have a bias as well, right? And my bias is definitely that I have a Jesus that I follow, and that the Jesus that I follow and that leads my life has a congregation of people, right? And he has a congregation of people here in Kelowna. And the resiliency from God's people and the faith, it has totally floored me in a sense that, you know, they haven't lost faith. They know that God is in control. In the midst of a pandemic, they do their part. The most amazing thing that I typically see is when people, the elderly, right, who are vulnerable themselves, are calling and asking, what can we do? You know, as opposed to staying home, as opposed to like trying to shut themselves in because they're scared. No, they're doing the opposite. Like, I mean, they're safe. They're calling. I mentioned the word calling. They would call and they would say, what can we do? Can we call people? Can we, you know, can we cook something and drop it off? Like, just, it's amazing. Like, so we can't accept cooked food because that's not proper in terms of procedure. But all I'm saying is they're always asking, what can they do? Can they do something? They want to be used by God in particular, right? And so that has amazed me all throughout. That if there's a positive, definitely that's a take home for me, is that people are trying their best to listen to the voice of God in the midst of the pandemic, because they know God is alive in this day, and that he is definitely in control. You know, Kevin, from pastor to pastor, we were scared of that, right? Like, you know, how would people respond to the pandemic? You know, like, would they see it as God silencing himself? That's one of the thoughts that came into mind, right? Like the 400 years of silence with Israel, right? Is this our type of a silence that we are sensing? But no, you know, people believe that God is in control.
Ginger, I really thank you, because I think what you've done is actually helping us understand that the gospel is about actually making the invisible visible and lifting people up who are forgotten and downtrodden. So I think you've really helped us with that today and given us some challenge. And I think it's a process, but I think we as the church in Kelowna really don't want the invisible people to stay invisible. Mm-hmm. We want them to be visible. Mm-hmm. We want them to be lifted up. So we just thank you for being part of that and leading us mm-hmm. in that and helping us to experience that. So thank you for being a guest on the podcast.
I am thankful for you, Kevin. I'm thankful for what you are doing in God's kingdom and making sure that we know that God's voice is being heard. So it goes both ways, my friend, because of the fact that I know that at the end of the day, we're all doing our part to make sure that the kingdom of God is visible.
So it adds meaning to this little thing that we've been saying, doesn't mm-hmm. it? We're all in this mm-hmm. together.
That's right. Absolutely.
So thank you, Ginger. And hey, thank you for listening. And I hope that you feel better equipped to deal with life than you did before. And it's been great to talk about things that help us live better lives. I look forward to connecting with you on our next podcast. Until next time, keep the faith and live in hope.
Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe so that you can catch all our future episodes. You can search for us as FBC Perspective on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.